our scripture, John chapter 12. And I'm going to read it again, starting from verse 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name." Then came there a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, "An angel spake to him." Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. Three things from this passage of scripture that I'm going to talk about this morning. Number one, the timing. Number two, the bitter. And number three, the sweet. The timing, the bitter, the sweet. And I'm going to leave you with the title, Bittersweet Assignment.
Come on now.
A bittersweet assignment. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. We praise you. God, we just glorify your name, God, and we're just so thankful and grateful to be able to be used by you. So, God, we pray you'll have your way. Decrease me, and God, you just increase and say what it is that you need to say through your servant today, God. And praise your name in advance, God, for what it is that you will do through this message. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Bittersweet assignment. Have you ever had a bittersweet assignment? Have you ever had a bittersweet assignment? I can just kind of help you with that. Say a woman having a baby. I mean, it's bitter. It's bitter. It's scary. Just the thought. Especially if you want to push the baby out. Just think about that. And even if you don't push the baby out, they got to get the baby out some kind of way, right? Got to come out. It can't stay there. It has to come out. And if they have to cut it out, then it's going to come out. So that's bitter. But then it's sweet.
Because when that baby comes, it's sweet. And some people say, oh, I still remember my pain. Yeah, you will still remember your pain, but as soon as you see that baby, it's like, oh my God. It's sweet. And many of us have bitter sweet assignments. We have bittersweet assignments, and sometimes we don't quite understand when we're going through that there is an end to this assignment. Amen? And sometimes we take ourselves through some things that we don't need to take ourselves through. We just would understand that God is in control and that God knows what we're going through. Even though the assignment that he has put in your hands may be a little bitter right now, there it will be a sweet. Hallelujah. There will be a sweet. And so when we think about the timing, you know, timing is really important. I watched a movie that, and I saw a man who, he just took over all of the traffic lights because he was upset with somebody, and he had the power to take over all the traffic lights, and he had cars just crashing in to one another. And how many of us know that traffic lights are important? And the timing of traffic lights. Somebody said, live free, die hard. The timing of the traffic light. We take it for granted. We look at the traffic. I mean, we're driving and, you know, but how many of us know that there's a controller somewhere? And they are controlling the traffic light. They have designed, they have fixed it so that the traffic can go the way that it should go. And then sometimes when you see maybe the president coming, and you know they will fix the traffic lights so that they will just get all green lights, so that they can go forth and they time that thing so that nobody else will run into them from the side. How many of us know that timing is important? And so even trying to have a baby, the timing is important. We can't just, you know, in 3 months say, okay, it's time for this baby to come out. Timing is, and you go pushing. I'm pushing. I'm just going to push it out. That's not going to happen. Baby's not even going to buzz. It's not going. But some people will have the baby early because, you know, but then you realize the timing is important because now you have a baby that's not developed. Timing is important. And it also made me think when we had the play here. And you realize that timing is important because when Sister Ashley was up here singing, Reverend Kevin couldn't be busting out the door to run down out the door doing his thing. She had to take her time and do what she had to do. And then Brother Dennis had to do what he had to do. Where the music was concerned, he wasn't going to, you know, just start a song out of nowhere and everything just gets mixed up. Timing is important. And so there had to be someone who was watching for the timing and someone who's looking and saying, you know, this should happen at this time. That should happen at this time. This should happen at this time. Timing is important. And throughout the Bible, Jesus has been talking about timing. In verse 23, it says, Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come. The hour is come. Now, before that, he had been saying, mine hour is not yet come. It's not time yet. It's not time yet. And no matter how people tried to push him before his time, he knew that timing was important. He said, it's not time yet. My time has not come yet. And Jesus would look out over different situations and he would say, you know what? The time is going to come.
Go ahead.
Hallelujah. Oh, you know what? See, especially if it's something hard, you know, something great, and he'll look out at it and be like, you know what? The time is going to come when things are going to change.
Go ahead.
The time is going to come, but it's not time yet. It's not time yet. And many of us, we would like to push God. We would like to push him into making the time when we want it to be to be. And we don't want to take sit back and wait for God to do, the controller to do what the controller knows that he knows how to do best. And just wait on the controller. Wait to hear from him to let you know when the time is up. And we go through our problems and we don't understand why it hurts so bad. And, you know, we get ourselves all messed up because we just want to get out of this thing. But somebody needs to know that it's not time yet.
Well,
the controller is saying that it's not time yet. Because he understands the beginning and the ending.
Go ahead.
He has designed this thing. He knows. When I was the controller of the play, and I was able to say, no, don't go yet. It's not time for you yet. You wait right there. Just wait right there. It's not time for you. And God is saying to us, it's not time yet. Now I need for you to just wait a minute. And understand that this thing is going to go. It's going to go as planned. It's going to go as planned.
Come on. Yeah.
God has a plan.
Yes, sir.
And everything that he has designed will go as planned if you understand that you have to wait until the timing is right. Jesus understood that. And see, Jesus looking out, and when he saw, some of the things that went on, Jesus could have got to a place where he would rush God and be like, God, you know what? Like when he looked out and he saw the multitude of people standing by the pool, the impotent folk, that's what the scripture called them. The folk who couldn't walk, and the poor man, the 38 years that he was trying to get into the pool, and he figured nobody would put him in there. And Jesus asked him. He said to him, "Listen, I want you to know that do you want to be healed?" And the man said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, if you want to be healed, you know, I can do this. Do you believe it?" Jesus is showing us that he wants to do this. He wants to show us what he can do.
Yeah.
And so, but Jesus was looking out and he's saying, but this was a great multitude of people.
Well,
it wasn't just one man. He healed that one man. But this was a great multitude of people. Can you understand what his heart might have been feeling at that time when he looked out and he said, all these crippled people. I wish that I could just get to every last one of them. I wish I could just heal them all right here. And Jesus, he could have been that way. He could have been like, God, you know what? I can't wait no longer. Come on, I'm on my way. I'm going on to this cross. I got to do what I got to do because you know what? I can't take this no longer. But Jesus looked at that situation. And he says, you know what, the time is not yet. And he's showing us today. He's saying, you know what, you might be looking out at something. I don't know what you're looking at. I don't know what situation you may be looking at in your life. It looks hard. It looks big. It looks like it's just crazy. But God is saying to you, it's not time yet. He's saying, I have some things that I have to do. I need to do. And I need to get in order. I need to put something here. I need to take something out there. I need to fix some things because there are some things that I need for you to understand so that you will understand that when you come out of this thing, that I am God in your life.
And many of us, we want to take control. We want to do what we want to do in the timing that we want it to be done. And that's the way it is with us in life, you know. We learn that. We grow up and we learn how to get things done. Get it out the way. And get to something else. Come on, get things done. Get it out the way. Go to something else. And then when we come to God, we expect that that's the way God's going to do with us. And God is saying, nope. He's saying, no, I want you to understand. I'm not going to do that. I want you to begin to trust me for now. You know what I mean? I'm in control now. If I'm in control of your life, then, you know, and if you allow me to be in control of your life, then I can do what I need to do. I can get to all of the parts. I can get to every area in your life. But if we push God, don't push God. Don't push God. And so that's the timing. The timing is very important. The timing is very important. And then there's the bitter. The bitter side of your assignment.
My God.
Sometimes we have a bitter side of our assignment in life. Everything is not going to be rosy in life. We're going to go through some things. And there will be some bitter times in our lives. There will be some times when we don't know when we're going to come up out of this situation, the bitter side. We can't figure it out. We can't understand it. But God is showing us that what he wants us to do is just to trust him in the midst of it. Jesus, the scripture says in verse 32, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. He said, if I be lifted, lifted up. And lifted up here is a reference to his crucifixion.
Yes.
Jesus was going to die. And it wasn't so much that he was going to die that was so bitter, but it was the way that he was going to die.
Yes.
Can you imagine? When the scripture says in verse 27, in John 12, it says, Jesus said, now is my soul troubled. He said that. He said, you know, my soul was troubled. He knew what was about to happen. And he said, I'm going to be lifted up. I'm going to be lifted up, which is a reference of the crucifixion.
Yes.
I'm going to be spit on. I'm going to be beat. I'm going to be, you know, torn to pieces. My blood is just going to flow. It's just going to flow and flow and flow. And I'm going to be, you know, up on that cross. And I'm going to be to a place where I can't even breathe because, you know, it's. And so as he's thinking about this and what he has to go through, he says, my soul is troubled.
My God.
My soul is troubled. And he understood that in his flesh he was going to feel this thing. In his flesh, he understood that, you know, a lot of times we look at Jesus and we think, oh, you know, he's God. But he was 100% God and he was 100% man. Oh, he felt that. And his feeling, he was going through some changes in his soul. And so don't think that he doesn't understand that you're going through some changes in your soul right now.
Amen.
He's been there. He's done that. He understands what
what you're going through. He understands your situation, and he understands that it hurts, and he understands that you're afraid. He understands all of that.
Amen.
He said, my soul is troubled. And then he said, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. He said, this is the reason that I came. I can't even turn around. I have to do this. And some of us have to tell ourselves, I can't believe it. I have to do this. I can't even turn around. This is before me. This is what I wish I could turn around, God. I wish I could just not even have to deal with this, God. I wish, God, that it could just all go away. I wish I didn't have to. And Jesus is showing us that we can do it. He wants us to understand it, that we can do it. I don't care how bad it is and how hard it seems to us. He's saying, you can do this. You got to do it, and you can do it. And we can trust him and know that he is going to be with you through every part of your life, through every situation that you're going through. He's going to walk with you. He's going to talk with you. He's going to keep you. I mean, I don't care if you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. You should fear no evil, because he's going to be with you in spite of it all. He's going to keep you. And see, nobody really understands God like that unless they've really been through it. Unless they've gone through some things in life and they see that, God, I can't believe it. You really did not leave me. God, when I thought that I was going to lose my mind, God, when I thought, God, that it was going to be over for me, God, when I thought, God, that there was nobody around, God, when I thought, God, that I was all alone, my God. You were there, God. You were there in the midst of it all, God. You were there, God. You were there, you were there, you were there, God. And sometimes we don't get there until God has to take us through something.
All right.
We don't understand that God is going, he's going to get us through this. He's gonna get us through this, and sometimes we get to a place where we feel like, God, you know, I'm angry with you, God, because it didn't go right. It didn't go like I thought it should go, God. And God, I'm angry. And God is showing us. He's saying to us today, you know, don't be angry with me, because I know what I'm doing. It's designed just the way I planned it. And sometimes we have to take the bitter with the sweet. The sweet is coming. The sweet is coming. And so, then Jesus said in verse 31, he said, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. He said, now. See, that makes me see, or makes me believe, that this is what Jesus has been waiting for a long time. He's saying, you know what? Now. Because he says, the hour is come. I've been waiting for this.
Come on. Come on. Take it down.
The hour is come. Listen, you know something? A few days ago, weeks, months, he was saying, it ain't time yet, but the hour is going to come. the time is going to come. You understand? The time is going to come when this is going to change. All this is going to change. All of this that's going on, it's going to change. And so Jesus said, now, because the hour is come. The hour is here. It's on now. The time is on now. And he's saying, okay, the hour is come. It's here. He said, and now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out.
Amen.
And then he says, and if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Now Jesus is saying here that it's time for me to cast them out. Because you know what? I'm so sick and tired of you. I'm so sick and tired of you messing with my people. I'm so sick and tired. As he went through the earth, because he had the chance to walk through the earth for 3 years. And as he walked through the earth, he was seeing people with children, and their children were dying. And they running to Jesus. Jesus, could you please? Yeah, and the enemy done messed with their children. Then he sees the impotent people laying at the pool, and they're trying to get help, and they're trying to jump in the pool and can't even move. They just, you know. And then, you know, they're feeling like, I don't have any help. I'm all alone within this thing by myself. And Jesus is walking through the earth for 3 years, and he's looking at that, and he's saying, you know what? I'm about sick and tired. Because I know where the source of this is. The enemy, he has his grip on God's people. He has his grip on them. And this is the reason that God has sent me to the earth. And,
yeah.
And I understand that this is the reason that he sent me to the earth. And I know that I can't turn back. Because I don't really want to turn back now. Because as I look out over God's people and I see that they have been gripped in the hands of Satan, he won't let them go. And what he wants to do is he wants to steal, kill, and he wants to destroy them. He doesn't care about them. He wants to take them, and he wants to rip them apart, and he wants to use them for his glory. And for so many years, the Bible says that the people have, you know, how we have been in Ephesians. What does Ephesians says? And Ephesians 2, 1 says, and you have been quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And so we see that this is the way it was. We see that, you know, and Jesus saw it. He saw it. He knew it. He said, you know, when I come, I'm going to change all of that.
Yeah.
I'm going to change all of that. God's people, they're not looking like God's people because they don't have the Spirit of God living inside of them. And so they are in bondage to the enemy. And whatever the enemy tells them to do, they do. Because they don't have any power to keep them from doing what they are supposed to do for God. And so then, you know, I can remember times when I was younger, and one time I was somewhere and all of a sudden I felt this weird spirit come over me.
My Lord.
And it was really it was kind of really out of my control. And then, you know, I was saved at that time. And then all of a sudden, it was like I snapped out of it. And I was like, Jesus. I'm telling you, this is no lie, how the enemy just came over me. I'll never forget it because I'll never forget how that felt. I couldn't believe it. I was like, what in the world? Where was my mind going?
Come on now.
And he just He just took my mind. And I could see how he would take your mind. He would take your mind and he would have you go and do what he wants you to do. That's how we find ourselves in situations sometimes that we don't understand how we got here. I don't understand this. And how did I make myself do something so low down and dirty as that? How did I find myself in that place? How did I find myself doing things that, you know, that's so ugly and so nasty? How did I find myself there? And the enemy will do that. He will take over your mind, especially when you really don't have the power. Or you don't understand that you have the power.
Yeah.
Because, see, I had the power, but I didn't understand that I did. I didn't understand that I did. I didn't understand that, you know, that I could call on the name of Jesus and I can change things. I didn't understand that I can change things in my own life. I didn't know that.
My Lord.
And so I found myself time and time again, you know, falling in different things that, you know, was unlike God, and doing things and saying things and acting, you know, unlike God, because the scripture lets us know that that's what the enemy will do to you. And God's people have been used by the enemy for so long. And the enemy had done his thing. He was trying to wipe them out because he knew that God was sending his son. He knew that. And the enemy was trying to wipe them out. And God said, I will not allow that to happen to my people. And he sent his son Jesus.
Yes.
And he said, and Jesus looked out on that thing and said, you know, the time has come. It's enough. It's enough. It's enough. It's enough. I'm tired of looking at all of this. I'm tired of looking at all these people. I'm tired of looking at all these sick people, these children dying. I'm tired of looking at all of this. And he said, the enemy would make you think that I came to condemn you. I didn't come to condemn you. I came to save you. I didn't come to judge you. I came to judge the world. I came to judge Satan and his enemies and his imps. I came to save you. And people will think, oh, God, you know, I don't feel like I don't want God yet in my life because he's a God that, you know, he will kill me if I walk in church.
My.
The church will burn down if I walk in. Did anybody hear people saying that?
Yeah.
Oh, because I'm not ready to let go. I'm not ready. And God is saying, he didn't send me here to condemn you. He sent me here to love you, to save you. That's why he sent me. I don't care about what you have done. I don't care about what's going on in your life right now. My main goal is that I come and I let you know, just like the woman who was the adulterous woman, and they brought her to the church. Jesus, what do you say about her? She done committed adultery. Caught in the act. Committing adultery. What do you say? What do you say, Jesus? And Jesus started writing on the ground. He didn't even look at him. He started writing on the ground. And he said, okay. What you say, Jesus? What you say? Jesus said, he who is without sin. You cast the first stone. How about that? You cast the first stone. How many of us can say we are without sin? You can cast the first stone. You got something to say about that sister over there. You got something to say about that brother over there. You got something to say about this one. You got something to say about my children. And you got something to say about, oh my God, come on now. You cast the first stone. And so, you know, Jesus, he said, I didn't come for that. That's not what I came for. I came to love on you. I came to save you from the grips of the enemy, because he is tripping your mind up. He's got you thinking one way. When he wants you to do one thing, he wants you to do one thing, God wants you to do another. And because you have been listening to the enemy long, you've gotten to the place where you feel that the enemy, what he's saying, is right. Because that's all you've been hearing. God said, no, I need for you to begin to renew your thinking. Renew the way you're thinking. Stop thinking. Look into my word and find out what it is that I need for you to do in your life. And understand that I am God in your life. He said, now is the judgment. And this is the sweet part. Because he's saying, you know, it's time. It's time for the enemy to go. Because he said, when I'm lifted up from the earth, when I'm lifted up, he said, then all men will be drawn unto me. Now, how's all men going to be drawn? He says, when I die, that's what the crucifixion is talking about. When I die, then the men who have looked up to me, when you get to a place where you say, God, I thank you and I look up to you, I believe you, Jesus, that you died on the cross for my sins and that you rose again from the dead, hallelujah, then your spirit man will be chained and it will be drawn unto him. And he's saying, all men. He said, I'm not just trying to come out and just get you and just get you and just get you. Because you know what? It is my Father who does the drawing. My Father draws you. And so where I've gotten, my Father said, all men will come unto me. Once I lay down my life, all men will come unto me. And all men is who I'm looking for. I'm coming after every last one of you. And I want every last one of you, but the problem is we don't believe that he wants us. Well, and when we hear the Father speaking in our ears, isn't that awesome that the scripture says that the Father draws us?
My God. Thank you.
God, the Almighty, he drew me unto himself. I didn't know that that was God. But when I found out, I said, God, what? You gotta be kidding me. You thinking about me?
Yeah.
What is man that you are mindful?
Yeah.
You thought about me, God. You said, come. You drew me. And before I knew it, I was up at the front of the church. I was like, what? Oh, I'm up here. I guess I felt the woo, you know, the woo of God. Oh, he was wooing me. But some of us will say, because they don't know it's God wooing them. They don't know it's the God, the Father Almighty, who is saying to you, come unto me. He's saying, come to me. And we can say, and we start thinking, do I want this? Or do I want you,
God?
Do I want you, God?
Yeah.
In your mind, you're going back and forth. As God is still wooing you, and he's getting stronger and stronger and stronger, can you believe that some people will say no? God the Almighty is calling you unto himself. And some people will say no. And some people will say no. But the sweet in this is that Jesus, he takes all the power from the enemy. He takes the power from the enemy. What's that? Colossians? Let me look at that real quick because I want to read that to you. Colossians 1. No, wait a minute. Colossians 2. But Colossians 2 and verse 13. Look at this. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, have he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. That's one of the things that he's done for us, okay? He's forgiven us and he's quickened us together. Hallelujah. And then it says, he blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. So He nailed it to the cross. So all of that stuff that we did that we're still walking around with thinking, oh, God, I did so much stuff. I don't know if you're going to forgive me. And every morning we wake up and say, God, oh, forgive me. And every night we go to sleep, forgive me, about the same thing. God said, no, well, what I have done is I took it out of the way. Don't let that be something that's going to be a stumbling block for you. It's out of the way. How about that? He said, I took it out of the way. Stop stumbling over that thing every morning. Stop stumbling over that thing every night before you go to bed. Stop stumbling over it. He said, I took it out of the way, and then I nailed it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. He spoiled principalities and powers. He took the power from the enemy, and then everybody who gets to a place where they say, Jesus, I want you to be in my life, he delivers you out of the power of his hand. And so that's what he's doing. He's walking, he's in his spirit, he's delivering people out of the power of darkness. And then he's translating them into the power of the kingdom of his dear son. He's delivering people out of the power of darkness. Out of the power of darkness. And sometimes we think, oh, this is the power of darkness. No, you don't realize that it was the enemy. He had control over your whole life, your very being. He had control over everything that you were doing. He had control even over the fact that you're sick or the fact that you're dying. He had control over that. And Jesus is saying, no, now I have delivered you out from under the power of darkness, and you have been translated. Then I put you, hallelujah, in the kingdom of my dear son. I put you there. And now this is where you live now. And many of us are still walking around like that elephant. You tie the elephant to the pole for 3 years, and then you take the string off the pole, off the elephant. And you tell the elephant, all right, go. Go, elephant, go. You're free. And the elephant's still going around that pole. Listen, we're still going around the pole. You free. You's a free. Go on now. You's a free now. Stop running around that pole. Somebody's still running around the pole. You free. Begin to act like you're free. You act like you're free. You're free. You're free. You're free. If you have accepted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you have a spirit who lives inside of you that raised him up from the dead. Hallelujah. Do you know that you have a power that lives inside of you, that you don't have to take the crap that the enemy keeps throwing at you, keeps throwing at your family, keeps throwing at your children? He's thrown at your health. He's thrown at your finances. You don't have to take that anymore. You're free. You are free. And it's going to take a few minutes for you to understand how to live this kind of life. Because you're going to have to begin to renew your mind. Get your mind straight. Think about what you're doing. Think about what the Word of God says. And let me get my mind straight. Because you know what? If it hurts bad enough, you will sit down and try to figure out how to make the hurt stop. And sometimes God will take us through something to make it hurt bad enough for you to figure out what it is that you need to do to make the hurt stop. Because God is saying that when the timing is right, the hurt is going to stop. The hurt is going to stop. But you have to understand that you got to begin to renew your mind. And stop walking around that pole. You're free. You're free now. If you have accepted the Lord Jesus in your life, you have a spirit who lives inside of you that is a power that can release you from anything that the enemy wants to do to you. The Bible also tells us about when Moses, the scripture talks about, he says Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Even so, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Let me tell you something. Moses was in the wilderness with God's people, and they were murmuring and complaining about everything, and God sent some serpents on them. And then they came to Moses and said, Moses, we're sorry. We say, you know, please pray to God and tell him to get the serpents out of here. And God didn't take the serpents out. You know what God did? He told Moses to put the serpent on a pole, put a brass serpent on a pole. He said, and anybody who looks up to the serpent will be healed. And would you believe that not everybody looked up to the serpent too? Some people were too prideful. Some people were just mad at God. Some people had a problem with the fact that he wants me to look up to a serpent, something that's biting me and everything is killing me. And a lot of people died out there that day. But God said the ones who looked up to the serpent, to the fiery serpent, the ones who looked up lived. And I need for you to understand today that God is telling you to look up and live. He's saying, look up and live. And let me tell you something. As long as you're looking up, the enemy is going to come. Oh, yes, he's going to be still there. God didn't take away the serpent. Oh, they were still biting people. Some of us may still get bitten. Some of us may still be going through some situations in our lives. But as long as we're looking up to Jesus, hallelujah, we still live and not die. As long as we keep our eyes on Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, understanding that he knows the beginning and he knows the ending of my life. And if I just keep my eyes stayed on him, hallelujah.
Thank you.
See, lifting up, you know, is an elevation. Lifting up is lifting something higher than yourself. Lifting up is exalting. And the Bible lets us know that God has already exalted Jesus. He is already, because he lifted him up already from the grave. Jesus died for our sins, but then he rose again, hallelujah, for our salvation. But when he died, God put a stamp of approval on that. And his blood flowed, hallelujah. His blood flowed. And when his blood flowed, we were able to come up under the fountain. And we were able to receive from God, hallelujah, all of the blessings that he had in store for us.
Thank you.
The scripture says he exalted him. He exalted him. He lifted him up from the grave. And then he exalted him on high. And he gave him a name. Hallelujah. He gave him a name that is above all other names. God has already exalted him. Hallelujah. He's already lifted him up. He has already put him where he belongs. He has already done that. God has given him a name that is above every name. And that ain't the name of Jesus. Every knee shall bow. And every tongue to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords to the glory of God. He has lifted him up. God has already exalted him. And God is saying to you today, will you exalt him in your life? Will you lift him up higher than yourself? If he's always lifted up higher than yourself, and you're always focused on him, then when you're walking through the valleys of the shadows of death, you won't fear any evil. Because you won't even realize that evil is around you. You'll be getting bit and you won't even realize it, because as soon as you get bit, you'll live. As soon as you get bit, you'll live. And you will do nothing but frustrate the enemy. And God is saying, that's what I want for my people. Jesus said, now is the judgment of this world. Jesus was tired of seeing it happen. husband of this world. And I came to save this world. I came to change some stuff. And I want to ask you today, will you lift him up? Higher than yourself. Hallelujah. Will you lift him higher? Will you lift him higher? Hallelujah. Will you look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith?